The Milwaukee Bucks. I was reading on Bleacher Report. They're giving grades out to all the, you know, final report card for every team in the association. And, you know, Celtics, they got an A+, rightfully so. I mean, they're gangbusters throughout the year, obviously. I had to scroll down, you know, get myself to the Milwaukee Bucks. It wasn't pretty for the Bucks. Here you go. The Milwaukee Bucks, they gave them a grade of D. Not for their defense, but a D. 49-33, right? Despite giving, 70-plus games from each of Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard, they fell short of 50 wins this season. 30-13 record until they ran off first-year head coach Adrian Griffin about halfway through the campaign. Picked up Doc Rivers. Went 19-20 the rest of the way with Doc. Giannis was incredible, by the way. Giannis would average over 30 points and 60% shooting from field goals. The first player in NBA history to do so. So even with Giannis performing like an MVP for a sixth straight season, this regular season felt like a borderline disaster for the Bucks. Defense did improve a bit under Doc Rivers. Offensively, under Adrian Griffin, they were really good, but defensively, they stunk. Now, Doc got their defense up a little bit. Chris Middleton missed a lot of games, 27 games due to injury. Damian Lillard posted a below average percentage from both 2- and 3-point range. And they say that in their final, from Bleacher Report, the final little blurb on the Bucks, it still feels like there's enough raw talent here for a quick about face in the postseason. But after going out in the first round last year and following that up with a very uninspiring campaign this year, it's fair to worry about the Milwaukee Bucks. It's fair to worry about the Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah, totally. Especially because Giannis is hurt now. Giannis is in real doubt that it could be going for game one, let alone the series. So he's rehabbing daily for that calf. Status in doubt. Giannis has rare recovery ability, though. We've seen it, hell, when they won the championship. Giannis came back and after about blowing his knee up, came back and they won the freaking thing. And they were a 3 seed then too, by the way. But if you don't have Giannis and you got a Damian Lillard who is posting below average 2- and 3% percentage, you're like, okay, well, can Dame time check the watch? Can it be Dame time come playoffs? That's why they got him, right? It wasn't to be, you know, gangbusters in the regular season. It was to be winning another championship for our dear. They always revert to this ISO basketball, too, that doesn't really bode well. When they start sharing the rock, they're good. When they do this one-on-one stuff, Doc Rivers, though, was asked, you know, the Bucks got till Sunday to heal up. Get everyone ready. Host the Pacers. Here's Doc.
Yeah, we get to practice. Yeah, and Indiana has had our number all year, right? So, perfect opponent. You know, listen, we got to play somebody, and they're tough. They've played great against us. They have probably great confidence against us. We'll have great focus because we're going to have to.
Yeah, you think? Yeah, they've had our number all year. We got to play somebody, though. Might as well be them. Okay. The only game the Bucks won in the regular season, again, regular season, was when Giannis went out for 64 points, and that's when all that ball fiasco happened, where Giannis wanted the ball, the Pacers took it into the locker room, and then, you know, Thanasis and Giannis went there, and were like all, you know, chirping and blah, 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 blah. We all know what happened. Giannis did eventually get his ball. Now, Doc was asked, does he have any idea when Giannis or any other injured players, like, for example, Damian Lillard's banged up. LA didn't even finish the game against the Magic, and he didn't expect them to. I mean, it's the final game. They're getting their blown out, whatever. But does Doc have any idea when Giannis or any of the other injured players will be available for Sunday?
I literally don't know yet. Like, I'm going to watch film, and we'll get to it. And we will have a game plan, and we'll be ready when that day comes.
Uh-oh. Let me just do something here. Adrian Wojnarowski. Oh, wow. How the turntables turn. Thanks, Christian. 3 minutes ago. Here you go. 3 minutes ago. A Woj bomb. Adrian Wojnarowski tweets out Breaking news. The Milwaukee Bucks are preparing to be without two-time MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo for the start of their opening round series against the Pacers, but are hopeful that treatments on his left calf strain will allow him to return sometime later in the series. So there you go. 3 minutes ago, Adrian Wojnarowski. Bucks are now preparing to go without Giannis for the start of the series against the Pacers. Kind of figured it was trending that way. Those calf strains, if you rush yourself back, then you can re-injure it, and then you can also see like an Achilles popping. Ooh. You know, Dame Time, Damian Lillard was saying, like, you know, he's confident. He's ready to go. That, you know, they have no qualms about it. They're ready to attack the Pacers. But when you actually hear the news, and it's like, you know, all right, speaking of Damian Lillard, he's talking here. He was asked, you know, does he think he will be 100% healthy on Sunday? Here's Dame Time.
Yeah, I mean, it won't be perfect, but I mean, I don't think nobody is, you know what I mean? But the week, just being able to get everything together, getting the rest and getting our minds right, it'll be good for us.
Rest and get your mind right and get ready to go. Speaking of being in pain, you know, Damian Lillard admitted against you know, the Magic at the last game of the regular season, he said he was in pain. That's why Doc pulled him in the second half.
You know, had a few little irritation type moments in that second quarter. And, you know, Doc was like, I'm going to get you out. You know, he tried to get me out in the second quarter, and I was just like, you know, we already here now. Let's just play, you know. And I felt good about at least being on the floor going into the playoffs. You know, I didn't want to just not have no type of game action going into the postseason. So being able to get out there, you know, guys denying me full court, trying to pick me up full court and stuff like that, I think that was just good for me to just kind of get that bump, you know what I'm saying? I think Cleveland lost, so they did us a favor, so we didn't drop too far, but that was it.
You know, the rumor, one of the theories floating around out there, that the Bucks wanted to manufacture these losses to play the Pacers. Well, you don't have Giannis now to start the series, as the Woj just said moments ago. No Giannis to start the series. Preparing for Giannis to come back hopefully later in the series. Well, in the regular season, the Pacers still had the Bucks number with Giannis. This season, from where it started with, you know, feeling a little bad about Jrue Holiday being traded, but you're like, Damian Lillard, this is the piece. This is the guy that could us, you know, back to the championship, hoisting that trophy again. Well, now you're left scratching your head thinking, Pacers, are they going to take this thing? And then what happens? Now, Vega Manjan had called him before. He was talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo, his GMing prowess, not good. You know, how much say does Giannis have? Is he the reason why the Bucks, you know, are, you know, the oldest team? They have a lot of money, too, in contracts. They couldn't really do too much anyways. But speaking of the GM, now reports swirling out there about John Horst, the Bucks GM. They say the Detroit Pistons are going to be hot on the heels of GM John Horst and to lure him to Detroit. The Pistons are believed to have interest in exploring the prospect of hiring him, John Horst, as they search for a new head of basketball ops. And John Horst is a Michigan native, worked in Detroit, and won Executive of the Year en route to Milwaukee's 2021 title. So could the Detroit Pistons, who absolutely stink, lure John Horst away from the Deer? And John Horst, I mean, that dude was pulling strings, you know, getting Jrue Holiday. And he's one of the reasons why, outside of Giannis being Giannis, John Horst is one of the reasons why the Bucks won a championship. Could Horst be like, you know what, I got a championship with Milwaukee. I did my job. I did something that not many people can do. I'm a Michigan native. Do I now want to try and take my talents back to my home state and help out the Detroit Pistons, who are a bottom feeder? So you have more potential shakeup with the Bucks. And then I think it was one of our listeners, J.A. Krebs, I think he's tweeting Grant this. He's like, well, okay, well, if the Bucks flame out, does Damian Lillard want to stick around? Does he demand or request a trade out of Milwaukee? Well, he's the one that wanted out of Portland anyways. He wanted to go to Miami. Didn't really work out, but also said on Twitter a couple of years ago that one player he dreamed to play with was Giannis Antetokounmpo. Maybe he wants to stay and see it out, and the Bucks come back and get healthy for if they flame out in this postseason and then try it again. All right. A lot of questions with the Milwaukee Bucks, and you're left scratching your head and not feeling good about it. We'll see. Playoffs, different animal, though. Can the Bucks flip the switch? Yeah, Bucks, man. News coming out just moments ago. Expected to be without Giannis to start the series against the Pacers. Our guy Denny and Holman messaged me. He says, the Bucks are toast. No hope, no D, no rebounding. Pacers will run them into the ground with Giannis hurt again. Okay, how about this? If the Bucks let us down, and sometimes being a Wisconsin sports fan is tough, right? It's the nut kick continuum. I coined that a long time ago. Stemming from, I think the nut kick continuum revealed itself to me when the Packers, and I hate to bring up bad memories, lost to the Seahawks, a game away from the Super Bowl with Brandon Bostic, going up there and effing it up. And he's not alone, and, who's at fault, but that's the biggest one. I said, you know what? It's like getting kicked in the nuts year after year as a Wisconsin sports fan. It's like you're climbing up Mount Everest, and you're about to plant your flag at the top, say, we made it, we did it. And right as you take the final couple steps up to the peak, up to the pinnacle, you just get kicked right in the nuts, and you fall all the way down. The nut kick continuum for all of our teams here. Bucks did defeat the Nutkick Continuum in 2021. But now, just back to the goodies. Just back to the goodies ever since. But if the Bucks do disappoint us, we're feeling good about the Milwaukee Brewers right now, baby. I know it was a loss last night. You're not going to win them all. Baseball's very long. And as long as you're winning series, which the Milwaukee Brewers are doing, you're in for a good time. Well, Padres, they get a little win last night. 7-3. Brewers were up. What was it? Six-run fifth-inning rally for the Padres to solidify it for them. You know, Joe Ross, starting pitcher for the Brewers last night, took the L. And this is where I have a question of the Brewers. As long as you're averaging, what were they averaging for a while? Six runs. As long as you're averaging and hot with the sticks, you can win a lot of ball games with some average pitching. But if you're not, obviously, scoring runs, and you got average pitching or maybe some below average, you're going to lose games, obviously. I mean, it's not rocket science. Joe Ross, though, who notched his first win two games previous, he had not had a win since 2021. A lot of injury, also sat out of 2020. And you're wondering if, A, can he stay healthy, and B, is he good enough to, give Brewers some innings? Well, 4 2/3 last night. 9 hits, 6 earned runs, 4 strikeouts, and 80 pitches. Outside of Freddy Peralta, who's absolutely dealing, what faith do you have? Colin Ray has been nice so far. Wade Miley, in his return, small sample size, been nice. Outside of that, though, you're really hoping that this Brewers, frontline starting pitching can do just good enough, and the sticks are there. But speaking of the sticks, dude, whew. Oh, Jackson Chirio. Listen, Jackson Chirio is a maze.
That's that arm of Tatis. He's got a good one.
Chirio, left field. Profar. Out of room, it's gone. Jackson Chirio, home run number 3.
Slide down that slide, Bernie. How about that donk? Listen.
Chirio, left field.
Right here, listen.
Profar. And the room, it's gone!
Donk! Right on the barrel yard sign.
Jackson
Chirio's 3 home runs now in his first 13 Major League Baseball games. Robin Yount is the only other big leaguer to do that at such a young age. 3 home runs, first 13 games. Chirio, Yount. Boom, baby. Also, last night, Jackson Chirio became the youngest player with a home run and a stolen base in the same game in the majors since Bryce Harper Jackson Chirio is freaking awesome. It is Brewers really believed in this guy, not playing a single Major League Baseball game, gave him that big contract, and said, you know what, we believe. You know, Pat Murphy is talking about in spring training, you know, has some ups and downs, but like, I think this kid's got it. And by gosh, he's got it. Looking real good for early returns for Jackson Chirio. Feeling it, loving it. And Chirio right now, leadoff last night, he bet in 259. Again, three dingers. First one to do so in 13 games since Robin Yount. Only two, actually. 11 RBIs. Let's go, baby. WNBA draft was last night.
Yeah.
And this Bleacher Report put up this stat. And I was like, really? Here's the stat. Now, Caitlin Clark went number one, obviously. Here's the stat that Bleacher Report out for News of the Weird. Caitlin Clark is now the first athlete to wear Prada at the WNBA or the NBA draft.
Prada, huh? Okay, hey.
I was like, okay. What do you want me to do with this information?
Good for her.
This is a stat now? What designers were wearing? There you go. News alert. Caitlin Clark was the first athlete at the WNBA or the NBA draft to wear Prada.
Yeah, hey.
That's fashion coming at you right there, baby.
That is.
I was like, what do you want me to do with this information?
Yeah.
She wears Prada? Okay, cool.
I thought the what are you wearing was not appropriate to ask people anymore.
I don't know. Here's what I love. Here's what I miss of the NBA draft. The huge baggy suits.
Yeah.
Go back to the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
The gigantic baggy suits.
They got that commercial with Carmelo Anthony.
Okay, Caitlin Clark is the first to wear Prada. Well, in the 2000s, those NBA players were the first to wear suits three times too big to the NBA draft.
They sure did.
You know, the WNBA draft. I didn't watch, but I was, I've seen it all on Twitter, you know, and Facebook, and you saw, you know, the videos and all the reaction, and you know, I was just going through Instagram, and Bleacher Report put out that Caitlin Clark was the first player ever for NBA or WNBA to wear Prada. I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, okay, like, good for her, I guess. That's cool. Like, why is this a stat now? What's going on here? And then I was just intrigued by it. Like, you know, I was thinking the NBA, like the way too oversized suits. I'm like, those things are hilarious. Like, that was the in fashion, though. Like, the suits that made you look like you're kind of like an Italian mobster. You know, where's the side of Gabagool? You see that suit, you're like, oh, Malone, what's going on there? And I was like, okay, she's wearing Prada. So then I was thinking to myself, you know, Prada, that ain't cheap. That's a lot of money. No, I'm sure, you know, someone from Prada, like, hooked her up with it, I'd imagine so. It's like much like, you know, going to, like, you know, some celebrity event like the Oscars or the Emmys or the Grammys. Or it's like, oh, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? A little different in a sense of, you know, for the movie stars than it is, I guess, to the athletes getting drafted. Yeah, good on her. You know, look good, feel good, play good, rock that Prada. Now, on that, though, I was curious because Prada's expensive. And I just Googled, you know, what was the cost of the Prada suit that Caitlin Clark was wearing? And then someone actually did break it down on Business Insider. Caitlin Clark, her Prada outfit cost $17,000. That's 22% of her expected first-year salary in the WNBA. So according to Business Insider's calculations, Clark's outfit cost just a hair under $17,000, or about 22% of her first-year WNBA salary. I was like, damn, looking fly, but it comes at a cost. And with that, you know, I was checking out the contract, you know, the rookie contract, 4 year, $338,000 for Caitlin Clark, or her first year, 2024. Now, this is without endorsements, obviously. Her WNBA contract would be $76,535. The Prada suit, or the Prada outfit, not really suit, but the outfit, $17,000. Looks good. It was cool. You know? Again, this is not a knock. I was just like, why is this a stat? why are we going down the outfit route here? Well, whatever. Look good, feel good, play good. I got an interesting Packers story coming up momentarily. By the way, Packers started their offseason program yesterday. Jair Alexander, who had not come to the voluntary stuff last year, he's there. He was there yesterday, walking in with Xavier McKinney. And I thought, you know, I think that little sit-down chat that Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst had of Jair Alexander after he made himself an honorary captain, almost screwed up the coin toss, and then got suspended. They had a little sit-down, like, yo, dude, you got to get it together a little bit here. Apparently, they both said that that brought their relationship together. And here he is. Voluntary off-season program. Let's go. Before we do that, though, line one, good morning. Who do we got?
Man, Andrew Tate probably just threw a car off of a cliff somewhere after seeing Clayton Clark wearing $17,000 worth of clothes.
I don't, okay, I've never listened, what's the, I've never listened to him or done any, like, anything involving, what's the draw for Andrew Tate? I don't, what's, like, the do you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a couple okay ideas taken to their, like, absolute extreme. Right, like his ideas, you know, if you're going to follow him and if you want a gateway, his ideas are men are losing their masculinity, right? White men in particular in the U.S. aren't having any kids. His whole thing is that, like, we as a race are going to go extinct because we've just totally lost our masculinity. Nobody works out. Nobody does anything, all this stuff. And, like, parts of it, I'm like, yeah, brother. We need to get a little more exercise, eat some more red meat. I know you'd latch onto those two things.
Oh, yeah, all I eat is red meat and eggs. That's all I eat, baby. I ooze tea.
But then he'll take the extreme turn and be like, if you don't have 8 wives and you're not having 30 kids, probably 5 kids per year, you're absolutely just a worthless contributor to society.
I've never really gotten the draw of him because I tried listening to him one time to see what it was all about. I just couldn't get over his voice. So I'm like, I can't stand this guy's voice.
It's brutal. He's just a slightly more brown version of Gollum, and you know, he just lives on the internet and just drives as many clicks as possible. So
yeah. Hey, what's up, Vega Bunch? What's happening, brother? What's going on?
Man, people are kind of fired up online when they're every year they talk about the WNBA salaries, and I'm like, do you realize the WNBA operates at a net revenue loss?
Yeah.
All these people mad online are not buying tickets to go help achieve the goal. Like, if you live in a major U.S. city that has a team and you feel like WNBA players should be paid more, you can absolutely be a direct impact.
I know.
Grab 10 friends.
Yeah.
Go to 10 games this year.
Well, it's like,
right?
Yeah. And it just doesn't interest me. Like the NBA regular season, like I pay attention to the NBA regular season because, you know, I need to, and I am a Bucks fan, but it's like, the WNBA, it just doesn't interest me. Just like the USFL doesn't interest me, or the XFL doesn't interest me. You know, like the Canadian Football League doesn't interest me. So I just, you know, whatever. But it's like people will bitch at me, like, talk more WNBA, talk more of this, talk more of that. And then I go, because they want to see him succeed. And I get it. Like, a rising tide raises all ships. Like, obviously, would like to see it succeed. But the people that bitch at me about it, I'm like, okay, well, do you go to games? No. Do you buy, like, jerseys or products? They say no. I'm like, okay, like, can you name 3 players? No. It's like, then why are you mad at me?
Retired.
Why are you mad at me when you're the one who's hacked off at the world about it, but you don't support it or do anything to help it? Like, it makes no sense to me.
So bringing it back to Andrew Tate, he'd say, yeah, they're just expecting everybody else to solve the world's problems. They're not willing to be a part of the solution. And that's a part of his ideas that maybe I'd vibe with a little bit, right? But yeah, anyway.
Well, you got to be active in your own rescue, too, you know? It's like, you got to... I just don't get it sometimes.
To be clear for the listeners, I did not endorse Andrew Tate, nor 90% of his ideas. But you can find some common ground with anybody. Just talk about... You know, if I was in a room with him, I'd just stick to talking about cuts of red beef. But, you know, bringing it back to the USFL, I think that's the perfect comparison. So if you do want to talk WNBA and salaries and how sports work in general that are not, you know, top-tier revenue sports, just look at the USFL. These ladies are getting paid, in some cases, significantly more than professional or at least semi-professional American football players.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not necessarily the gender thing, right? It's more the product that they play for. Because, you know, talk to, if you want to talk about pay, go talk to the Madison forward players, right? Talk to me about their stipend that they get and their housing that they get. I mean, there are professional athletes that are competing and getting paid to do so amongst a lot of different sports and a lot of different levels that get paid a hell of a lot less than these ladies do. And they earn every dollar they get, and I hope the sport grows for them. But for now, we are where we are. And yeah. To your point, if they have a huge career in college now that the game has grown, they're going to make millions in endorsements.
Yeah.
I mean, Caitlin Clark's going to make $5 million next year, probably,
I will say I'm a little I'm a little intrigued in the WNBA in the sense of like all the WNBA, like the older players are like hating on Caitlin Clark, and now after she got drafted, a bunch of them saying like there's a dose of reality coming your way for Caitlin Clark when she gets to the league. Like, I'm intrigued to see how her game would translate. I don't know how much I'm gonna like watch, but I'll keep tabs on it.
I'm willing to bet, and don't get me wrong, I'm hyped about this Brewers team, but I've made it pretty clear, baseball is definitely not my number one sport. The fact that the WNBA starts in just a couple weeks, we're going to be more tuned in. So if you've criticized this show in the past, I, as a caller on this show, will take it upon my responsibility to bring a couple early season WNBA takes when we start to see Cameron Brink and Caitlin Clark in games.
Please do. I welcome it with open arms. Hell, we were gambling on it before. We made some money off of it. Our guy Dave Esler went like 13-1 in the WNBA. Piqued my interest a bit, too.
I'm sure Dave from Winona is looking at Josh. He's so excited right now. Dave, low-key, might get along with Andrew Tate. Like, those two guys in a room might have a good time. But, hey, before I let you go, we are in peak off-season, right? I mean, this is the dog days of NFL leading up to the draft. I listened to a Packers podcast last night, and it had two guests on. And they were talking about how sneaky needs for this team going into the draft. And they're talking about how this Packers team really needs to look at drafting more tight ends early. And they're talking about how A.J. Dillon, not even a lock for this roster, probably not going to be on the team.
Huh?
And I'm just here to say, they're frequent guests of the network, so I don't want to put their names up there because I feel like I've been over.
They wanted to draft tight ends early?
I'm listening to these podcasts, and this guy openly admits, he's like, I don't put any thought into my thoughts before I hop on. I just am on here, and I'm like, I understand it's a daily podcast for Packers, so you really got to drum up content. But no matter how incompetent, non-confident any of the callers on this network are, we disagree sometimes. None of us are as dumb as the host and the guests on that podcast. That was incredible. I'm listening to this, and I'll disagree with, Tim and Sparta. I'll disagree with Daniel and Madison occasionally, right? Nobody that calls into this show is as dumb as the guests that were on that podcast. And I'm like, and that's their day job. So if any of you guys out there were feeling bad about yourself today, just understand you're not as bad at your job as some of the Packer podcasters right now, because my God, that was a bad episode.
Vagabond, I did want to ask you a question. I brought your name up earlier really quick because I got some more callers on. TJ Bowlers for Wisconsin football hit the transfer portal. I loved his note online. Usually it's like this big graphic with all kinds of Photoshop stuff and, this like artsy-fartsy crap. He just went to the notes app and screenshotted it, and it was three sentences. He's like, I'm out of here. That was basically his thing. Like, I respected it. I loved it. Because usually it's like, I want to thank God. I want to thank, my mom. I want to thank, the individual names, blah, 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 which is fine. But he's just like, thanks, everyone. I'm out of here. I loved it. But you said on Twitter, one of the, quote, last snake oil Saeed Khalif recruits bolts. What do you mean by snake oil? Who's the snake oil here?
Snake oil guy was Saeed Khalif. That's kind of my take.
And, he's the snake oil salesman. What snake oil was he selling, though?
So his job as a recruiting director at Wisconsin is to bring in the most highly rated classes. And the problem when you focus on subjective metrics like stars is you're going to go out there and you're going to just throw desperate offers at these kids that aren't going to be a good fit. Wisconsin, without Saeed, their classes were just more consistent. They met the expectation of their talent. With Saeed, and now he's gone to Michigan State, by the way, and done the same thing. So it's not just Paul Chryst. He's done this under two programs. With Saeed, he got the media, he got everybody hyped up with four or five-star kids that just didn't have the character to back it up.
Okay.
They didn't have the work ethic. They didn't, bring their lunch pail. He totally changed what Wisconsin recruiting was during that time, and we all got really excited seeing those numbers on a website. and then you saw the play on the field, and these kids were just total, you know, for lack of a better term, bitches. These guys just sucked on the field. So, I mean, when Paul Chryst let him go, or when he left for Michigan State for more money, and he didn't immediately replace him, that's why I just thought that was such a bad argument from the fan base. Paul Chryst didn't replace him. Paul Chryst didn't replace him. I'm like, yeah. If you spent millions of dollars on a recruiting department that was an absolute and total failure, they evaluated on numbers on a website instead of conversations with the kids, I'd be hesitant to replace that guy too. So I just thought
he was the snake oil.
He was the snake.
Gotcha.
Selling oil, man.
I didn't know if you meant like Wisconsin. That program itself was the snake oil, like, because that's what you're saying. But he was the snake oil. I get it.
He was the snake oil. And by the way, like I said, he did the same thing at Michigan State. Totally was a contributing factor. Obviously, their head coach got himself into plenty of trouble too. But he totally ruined their recruiting too. A lot of those players just totally fizzled out. And the running back, Kenneth Walker, people will point to that. I'm like, nope. Actually, that's the last good player that committed right before Saeed started. So
gotcha.
He didn't bring in a single guy over there. Gotcha. But anyways, that's my Saeed take.
You the man, brother. Much love, homie.
Later, Evo.
See ya. Covered a lot there, damn. Let's go back to it. Line two, good morning.
Good morning, boys. What's good?
Chad. Wildcat Chad. What's up, man?
I always follow my boy Vagabond.
I know, it's meant to be.
Yes, I will say this. It's a rare, rare day. Everyone should go buy a lottery ticket. The day I agree with Vagabond John, but it's about to happen.
On what?
So the WNBA, it's the same game. It's not the same job. And so, like, while I would love to see players in the WNBA make more money, economically speaking, the demand isn't there yet. And I think Caitlin Clark may be the first player that is going to capture a generation of younger individuals that are interested in watching the WNBA. My almost 9-year-old daughter, she's nine. She's obsessed with Caitlin Clark and knows the name Paige Beckers and knows the name of the player out at USC, Juju. I can't remember her last name. Noelle knows all of those players.
That's awesome.
And so she might be the player that can help move the game to the next level, but it's not there right now. And the amount of money that the NBA generates versus the WNBA, and I'm pretty sure this is still true, that the WNBA is a money loser at this point.
No, they do. They operate at a loss, yeah.
Yeah, so the NBA subsidizes it.
Yes. Yep.
So there's no way you can say that the value is there. It's like if I said, well, Ebo is now the next Jim Rome, and I have a ham radio station. I want the same amount of money.
The ham radio. What is up, clones? Ham radio coming at you.
Right. It's not the same. Like, the revenue isn't there. So, yeah, over time, that will change. Just like it changed with NBA players. In the 50s and 60s, when they had plumbers and firemen playing in the league with Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain, they weren't getting paid. Now they're getting paid more. Like, that's how it works.
Well, what's good, you see it happening, right, though? Caitlin Clark's, all her jerseys have sold out now. Like, every single size of jersey is sold out. The Las Vegas Aces has already moved their arena for the Indiana, was it, Fever game for Caitlin Clark to hold more people. Season tickets have sold out or are about to sell out, one or the other. It's like you see it happening, but I want to see it succeed. I want to see it do better. It gives people your daughter, for example, like, wow, look at that. Like, a rising tide raises all ships. You want to see this succeed. So I don't know why people want to see it fail. It doesn't make any sense to me. But you see it happening, and you hope she pans out so it does happen more.
Yeah, and I don't like people denigrating the game. Like, I love the game of basketball. I don't like people, denigrating it or talking about how it's awful or anything like that. Like, it's a different style of basketball, and you may not be used to it, but like, for little girls that are watching it, I think it's important that they see, good players and they say, hey, maybe I can do that one day. I don't like that attitude. It's like, no, of course nothing's going to be like the NBA or the NFL. I mean, that's
Yeah.
Those are established brands that have been around forever. So give it time, but you also can't, nobody should demand that some of these players should be making from that league, you know, $40 million or whatever. It's not even plausible. No. There's no money to do that.
Yeah. And it's funny, like, the people that always, like, I said this to Vagabond John, like, they'll, you know, talk more of this, talk more of that, of WNBA. Like, you can't even name three players. Like, you don't even, right. You're not even active in helping them out. You just complain about it, how I don't do something. It's like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm not going to make you go buy jerseys or tickets or, you know, I don't get it. That's,
well, March 29th, 1979, a week before I was born, was Michigan State versus Indiana State. That game still is the highest watched NCAA basketball game in history. Sometimes it takes just fate to bring two things together, and that's what happened for the NBA. Magic Johnson and Larry Bird saved that league, and then Michael Jordan took it to the stratosphere. But that had to happen. One player isn't going to do it. It's got to be more than that.
Yeah. And you hope this new wave can, you know. You got Caitlin Clark, and then you got, you know, Angel Reese is a big brand, too. You know, the ladies from South Carolina, you know, big brand. So, yeah. Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
All right, Jen. See you, buddy. Oh, we've never talked this much of women's basketball ever. Everyone's doing it. So, yeah. All right, 608-321-1670, the number. I want to get into this interesting Packers story. You ever heard of the Battle of the Bloods and the Crips? Got to be careful where you wear your blue and your red. Well, how about in Brazil? Packers and Eagles are going to be playing there week one, Sao Paulo. And they're going to be playing at the Corinthians Arena, home of the Brazilian soccer club Corinthians FC. The venue was used in 2014 World Cup and 2016 Rio de Janeiro Olympics. And check this out. The Corinthians have an informal ban on the color green because it is worn by their bitter rivals, Palmeiras. So the Packers and the Eagles, obviously, both are green. The Eagles are set to wear the color as the home team. And a lot of people in Brazil, especially Corinthians fans, are kind of taking a little offense to this. They don't want the color green to be worn in their stadium, again, because it is their bitter rivals, the Palmeiras. So some of the players and managers and people that are fans says, I would never use, this is a quote, I would never use green boots or cleats because of my history with Corinthians. A club I've loved since I was little, said a fan. I would never disrespect the stadium or the team, much less the fans, by wearing that color. I have always honored the shirt, and I will always honor it. There is a precedent for teams wearing jerseys with the touches of green, though, at the stadium. Brazil and Nigeria, who incorporate green in their jerseys, played at the venue during the 2016 Olympics. And Nigeria played in their white away shirt with green numbers. And Brazil played in their famous yellow jerseys with green trim. And the subject, it didn't go well, by the way, the subject came up at a press conference when they announced the Eagles and the Packers, and the mayor even said, well, what color are the team's shirts? What will they be wearing? They do not want, again, it's an informal ban on the color green in Corinthians Arena. How about that? So Packer fans, here's another thing to be careful of and wary of if you're going to Sao Paulo and you're around the Corinthians Arena. You're a tourist, right? And a lot of people sometimes don't care for Americans when they're abroad. So if you are going, I guess don't wear any green-colored Packers gear. You could be in for some hassling on the streets there in Sao Paulo. So I saw this story break, and I'm like, damn, dude, this is crazy. What's the plan then? I mean, the two green teams are coming. I guess the Eagles got black jerseys. The Packers have their white jerseys. They're going to get paid a bunch of money for the teams to come there. So maybe they're going to have the informal ban be lifted for just that game. Another twist for the Brazil trip for both NFL teams here. Very intriguing here. Are we just going to call them the Bay Packers then? The Wisconsin Packers when they're there? If the color green is going to trigger some people down there? Be careful, man. I saw this. Someone had mentioned that they were talking to a friend of theirs that lived in Brazil. Let's see here. Is this at the subway station for the stadium? The entry gates, instead of having red and green lights, have been changed to red and blue. Most signs at the entry points, no green allowed. They have changed it again to red and blue. So I guess the Eagles could wear their black jerseys and the Packers can wear their normal away whites. So that would be no problem. But again, it's the fans in the stands and the fans around the stadium that I guess you got to be leery if you're traveling. Well, in England, right, these soccer clubs have, they're called firms. But they're like gangs. Now, they travel with their team. So, and obviously the home team have these firms as well. And they beat the living hell out of each other before matches. They just go all out. It's like a friggin' gang war, firm war between the two sides. And if you ever read the book or have seen the movie Green Street Hooligans, that really covers the firms, especially in the English Premier League. It is wild of what these guys do. It's like it is their life to just go get absolutely piss loaded up on some booze, and you go out and you fight the other firm members of the opposing club. And if you have the rivals, they get really crazy. There's like initiation to get into it. There's, you know, you get some of these factions in the stands, and there's people that have been banned. They'll try and sneak in. I remember reading a story, especially in the book, The Green Street Hooligans, which was is a real story. It's a true story. This American reporter, He befriended one of these, they're called hooligans, befriended a hooligan, and he got like initiated into this firm, into this gang, and they were like sneaking like steel tip darts into the games, and they would just huck these steel tip darts up on the opposing firm and fans to like, you know, inflict pain and injury. They would just, I mean, you've probably seen it, right? You've seen them bring in like flares. They're lighting up flares in the stands. They're kicking people's asses. There's been times where, and it's just not England, it's, you know, it's all these soccer clubs where the entire stadium will be banned from fans even entering, and they'll play to an empty stadium because they'll have like sanctions against them of how just terrible these firms are beating everyone up. But I don't think it's going to be the tune of that. Hopefully not with, you know, the Green Bay Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles coming to Sao Paulo. But again, if you're traveling, I guess wear your Packers white or gold gear. I guess I would stay just to be safe on the safe side. Steer clear of the green colored, you know, t-shirt jerseys or hats or whatever, because you don't want some guy who's a little on the liquor walking around the stadium who's a big Corinthians fan and hates Palmeiras to start, you know, jawing you, and then all of a sudden you're in the throwdown of fisticuffs. But again, yeah, there it is. The informal ban of the color green for the Corinthian Stadium. Crazy. I saw this. I'm like, damn, that's wild, man. Again, they're going to get a lot of boatload of money there to have it. So there'll be security everywhere. Again, who knows, though? I mean, hell, you see it. Hell, go look at Raiders fans. They're ready to stab you.